That performance was by the 369th Infantry Band. Nicknamed the Hellfighters, they were led by a very popular band leader, James Reese Europe. Of course, they would have been involved in the military during World War I. James Europe was trained on violin and piano, was music director for all black revues on Broadway stages, and has stated one of his goals was to show the musical proficiency of the African race. The New York Evening Journal said of one performance of his 155-member orchestra in Carnegie Hall of African-American music, "The Negroes have given us the only music of our own that is American, national, original, and real." This concert in 1912 included ragtime, spirituals, plantation songs, choral works, and show tunes. James Europe's bands were classically trained musicians, meaning they were technically proficient and excellent readers of music that was written down, and that they could also rag music if necessary. The great pianist and composer Ubi Blake, who played in that ensemble, recalled, "They could read a moving snake, and if a fly lit on the paper, he got played. But the people wanted to believe that Negroes couldn't learn to read music but had a natural talent for it. So we never played with no music. We'd have to memorize the music, and all the high-toned, big-time folks would say, 'Isn't it wonderful how these untrained, primitive musicians can pick up all the latest songs instantly without being able to read music?'" This sort of backhanded racism was undoubtedly something with which Mr. Blake was familiar, as both his parents were former slaves. The man acknowledged with the hottest band playing what may have been the very first jazz music was cornetist Buddy Bolden. Bolden grew up in the uptown section of New Orleans, an integrated neighborhood of working class folks. By all account, his playing was loud, bold, powerful. He was one of the first whose bands ragged marches and dance music to bring it inside the dance hall and infuse the blues into his music. There are no extant recordings of Bolden's music, so we rely on written accounts of his life. Many Creole musicians held Bolden's music in disdain, calling it ratty. One recalled, "He played nothing but the blues and all that stink music, and he played it loud. He was very popular, though, and many Creoles came to respect his prowess, if not the popularity his music generated." Some of the younger Creoles were drawn to his ability to improvise, his affinity for the blues. Peter Kokaj, a Creole cornetist who came to admire Bolden, explains, "So that's the way jazz started, just through the feeling of the man, his improvisations." Due to race laws changing in the South at the turn of the century, many New Orleans musicians headed north up the Mississippi River to Chicago, and still others went east to New York. This exodus from the South is known as the Great Migration and is generally said to have begun around 1910. The eventual success of the early New Orleans jazz musicians and the jazz style in Chicago led to many Chicago clubs and venues wanting to hire New Orleans bands. In 1916, a group of white New Orleans musicians who came to be known as the original Dixieland Jazz Band were booked into Chicago's New Schiller Cafe, kind of a seedy joint. The cornetist and leader of that ensemble, Italian-American Nick LaRocca, recalled, "The impact we had on the people of Chicago was terrific. Women stood up on the dance floor doing wild dances. They had to pull them off. The more they would carry on, the better we could play. The crowd would start yelling, 'Give us some more jazz,' spelled J-A-S-S. I can still see these women who would try to put on a show, raise their dresses above their knees and carry on, men shrieking and everybody having a good time." A year earlier, in 1915, the powerful New Orleans trumpeter Freddie Coppard and his original Creole orchestra, comprised of African Americans, performed in a New York theater. An employee of the Victor Talking Machine Company approached them and asked them to record that exciting ensemble. For reasons never made clear, Mr. Coppard turned down the offer. It would have been the first jazz recording ever. After the wild success of the original Dixieland Jazz Band in Chicago, they were soon booked in New York at the Paradise Ballroom in 1917. When they first performed there, dancers fled the dance floor. LaRocca recalled drunken patrons shouting, "Tell those farmers to go home." After the MC explained that the music was intended for dancing a special way, the band was more pleasantly received. So, in 1917, as the United States concerned itself with possibly entering what would come to be known as the Great War, the original Dixieland Jazz Band recorded their music for the Victor Talking Machine Company.